Today's sermon continues the series that we've been in the book of Luke. And those of you who were with us last time I was here know that we looked at the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15, which leaves us looking at the parable of the lost coin this morning. I got looking online for a good story about lost and found money. You remember the story I ran across about the fellow who got lost in the wilderness because his dog pulled him into a blackberry bush and he was stuck and could not get out. Well, I didn't find a good story like that. Instead, I ended up on the California Unclaimed Property page. Are you familiar with that? Right, every now and then I've heard rumblings of it, and if you do a Google search for lost money or lost property, you practically get dumped on that page. And it says that one in five, well, this was actually on a different state's page, but I learned that one in five people have money, lost money, sitting in various states' coffers. One out of five people. California alone has more than $5.1 billion in unclaimed property belonging to approximately 8.2 million individuals and organizations. How does the state get the money? I mean, how does this happen? Well, after 3 years of not being able to contact you, a business in California must report to the state and eventually turn over to the state any funds that they are unable to return to you from things like forgotten bank accounts, safe deposit boxes. You know, sometimes a person will die and nobody knows they had a safe deposit box. And so 3 years of no contact, they don't hear from you and know where you are. It ends up getting auctioned off on eBay and the money turned over to the state. Uncashed checks, escrow refunds, all these things held in the hands of a business that cannot contact you will end up in the coffers of the state of California. I ran a bunch of names of people I know through it. You know, it's not that hard to sit there and just type in, you can search. It's really easy to do. I found that two uncles, a church friend, two former teachers, one of Karina's deceased uncles, my deceased great-grandmother and great-uncle, and my brother-in-law all have lost money owed to them, ranging in amounts from $35 to over $2,000. I, however, regrettably, did not strike it rich at the California Unclaimed Property page. Which isn't terribly surprising, since I'm not aware of losing any money. Right? Hopefully most of us would be aware, although my uncle wrote me back and says, you know, this company, the company had finally actually gotten in contact with him that had listed his name there on this page. And he said, I don't recall doing any business for this company at all. I guess it was an orthodontia supply place. And he said, I haven't done any orthodontia in several years. But they managed to get in touch with him and gave him back the $65 he didn't know was lost. In today's parable, however, the whole story hinges on the fact that someone realized, whoa, something is missing. Something is missing. So I'd love to have a volunteer to read. No, Betty Lou, are you up to reading Luke 15, 8 through 10? 8 through 10.
Well, what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
All right. This is really just a continuation of the previous parable. Right? It's all the same themes told to the same people, the scribes and Pharisees, who objected to Jesus spending time and showing acceptance to tax collectors and sinners. And that's the context here. He's just continuing on. Who does Jesus use as an example in this parable. Remember in the previous parable, he says, which one of you wouldn't do this for your lost sheep? Who's the example character in this parable?
A woman.
A woman, right? Fairly generic statement, but maybe significant. A woman. In what situation does she find herself? All right. She's the owner of how many silver coins? 10. But one of them is missing. Well, apparently they were, judging by how she reacts here. Anybody know what it is likely that these coins were? All right. Most scholars believe that these coins were a dowry. In the actual value, if you will, of coins of the day, they weren't a huge portion of money. This isn't like multiple talents of money. But there's archaeological and extra-biblical evidence that a woman would perhaps have passed down to her from her mother a set, if you will, of 10 coins that belonged together as a dowry. Now, you know what a dowry is? I always have to kind of look it up. I get confused between dowry and bride price and all those different things. What is a dowry? Anybody know?
Well, it's the money that... is that what the husband has to give?
Now, see, that's where I always get confused. That's bride price. The dowry is the money that the woman brings with her to the marriage. Right? So, in that day and age, if you wanted to marry off a daughter, you had to send money along with her to get rid of her. Now, that was kind of how it functioned in that society. It's kind of analogous to today. You know, who pays for the wedding, traditionally?
The bride's family,
right? The bride's parents. It reflects a culture in which, I guess you might say, there's a surplus of women and not enough men. And so you try to make your daughters appear more attractive by sending money with them off to the marriage. There are places and cultures where that's reversed, right? Where you've got to come up with a whole lot of money to buy yourself a woman if you want to get married. And we call that a bride price. Nancy says, let's go for that. change our culture a little bit. Johnny Lingo, I guess, the old film, if you remember that. That was a culture in which you had to pay for your wife. You know, it was the bride price attached to getting married. And he wanted a 10-cow wife, was that? Or was it more?
She was a 100-cow wife.
She was a 100-cow wife. See, he multiplied the 10 coins by 10 and turned them into cows. And she was apparently really valuable to him. So there seems to be additional value assigned to these coins besides the monetary value of going out and spending, perhaps because they'd been passed down two or three generations, and this woman wanted to pass the complete set that had been her dowry on to her daughter, perhaps. Right? So I'd just like to make some notes, and I brought the whiteboard out for this, of all the characteristics of a lost coin that you can think of. So I just want you to brainstorm a little bit, answer all the who's, what's, why's, where's, when's, how's that come to mind. And we'll just make some notes up here about lost coin, characteristics of a lost coin. And I'll start you off with a how. How does a coin get lost? Now this is kind of it's such an obvious thing that you'll go, huh? All right. Yes.
The string must have broken.
Well, some believe that they were part of a collection. And here's one thing that I'm getting at by asking this question, and all these are perfectly good answers. We'll make some notes here. But in the case of a lost sheep, how does a sheep get lost? It wanders off. So how does a coin get lost in comparison? All right. It can't lose itself. It can't lose itself. So that's a little how it got lost. Any other? Who, what's, why's, where's, when's? All right, it doesn't know it's lost. All It can't find its way back. All right. We assume that that's true also for the sheep, you know, that it's caught out there, that it's stuck, or that it's, you know, it's so lost that it can't find its way back. But this is even more extreme, right? The sheep could at least wander and wander and hopefully run into somebody. But a coin can't take action to find itself once it's lost. All right, any other who's, what's, why's, where's, when's about a lost coin?
Was it lost or stolen?
Well, that's a was it question.
Okay.
We're saying for the moment it's a lost coin. That's a question that you might ask if you had a lost coin.
Can't be forgotten.
Pardon? Can't
be forgotten.
Well, obviously it could. Again, we're just looking for observations about a coin that is lost. Looking at... All right. Yeah, it can't get back on its own. I think we've covered the basic idea there. Where is it lost? Isn't that interesting? Right? It's actually lost at home. This pen is awfully squeaky. Maybe I have one that's not so bad. Right? Lost at home. Could you give me any more details about where it's lost at home?
House, so.
Yeah, not too many places it could be lost, but I heard another suggestion.
On the floor?
Yeah, chances are good, right? Because what does the woman do?
She sweeps
out the house, right? Lost at home, possibly on the floor. And what kind of a floor are we talking about?
Dirt.
This is probably a dirt floor, right? Right, this coin is lost in the dirt on the floor in the house. Sorry, this microphone is giving me small fits. All right. What's a coin for? Well, in this case, it was for a dowry, all right? But at a more basic level. All right, it is a unit of exchange for purchasing or saving. In essence, what are you telling me?
Money.
Yeah, it's money. It's something that carries value, right? But the value of a coin is based upon...
what other people put on it.
Yeah, whatever we say it's worth, right? Because these days, at least, you can't melt down the coin and go out and get somebody to pay you for what's in the coin, you know, what the face value of it was. Unless, you know, in some cases, I suppose a coin that's made out of a rare material, gold or silver, might actually be worth, you know, I don't know, if the amount of silver, if you had a real silver dollar, the amount of silver in that is worth a dollar, I don't know. Regardless, the even the value of the precious material, right? So it's made out of, these are silver coins, even the value of silver is placed on it by... somebody, all right? So it is something that carries value, the value placed on it, right, by those who value it. We also said it's made of precious metal. What's on a coin, typically? Yeah, usually somebody's face. Whose face ends up on a coin? Typically it's presidents. If we were going to generalize beyond modern American coins, what kind of faces appear on coins?
Authority.
Yeah, the reigning authority in a country, their image, bears the image... of the reigning power. Yeah, usually that's written on it. Although, exactly how, you know, what was on ancient coins, I don't know if they had, you know, Caesar's face in the front and one D on the back for denarius or something like that, drachma. But sometimes that is labeled on the coin as well. All right, that's a pretty decent list of just observations about a lost coin, what coins are and what they're worth and what they're made of. Let's go back to the story for a moment, and we'll make a list of everything the woman does. So, all right, once she realizes it's lost, everything the woman does, she starts by, is that the very beginning? Yeah, I said after she realized that it's lost, yeah. All right, she lights the lamp. She sweeps. All right, she searches. Does it say anything about how she searches? All right, carefully or diligently, however you're... All right. And how long does she search? All right, so this is really kind of a category underneath here. Searches until she finds it. That could be a long search. The other week I lost a small piece of technology. And on Sabbath morning I was looking for it. Up and down, I checked every pocket where it could be, and it wasn't in any of the pockets. And the last time I had it, I knew it was in my coat pocket. Did it fall out while I was shoveling snow? Is it out in the driveway buried in the snow? Oh, no. Did Elena grab it off of my desk and hide it somewhere stuffed in a drawer under a bed? Is it somewhere in the house? Is it... And I couldn't keep searching until I found it. I had an appointment. I had to quit and come to church. She kept searching until she found it. I had to give up. I went home that afternoon. I walked the driveway looking. I finally said, God, you know, it's only money. It's only, you know, something, some expense attached to it. But I don't know where else to look. You know where it is. Please show me where it is when the time is right. Please. And I went to bed. Because I didn't know where else to look. I woke up in the morning. Ding! Immediately I knew right where to look. I remembered the place that I had stuffed it in a bag that, anyway, it was a trip that we had taken that week that I wasn't planning to take, and I don't normally take that bag with me anywhere. Sure enough, that's exactly where it was. But this woman sweeps, light, searches, till she finds... Why does she need a lamp, by the way? Do you know what...
There was no light.
Yeah, do you know what these little houses were like?
They had no windows either.
No windows, there would have been a door, but they share walls, typically, with all the neighbors. It's like apartments, really. And so there's no windows. There's nothing to let light into the house unless you open the door. And even then, somebody else's door is just right across the way. And even in the daytime, it can be very dark in one of these little houses. All right, searches carefully. Doesn't stop searching until she finds it. What is it that she finds? How many? Yeah, until she finds just one. Until she finds just one. When she's found it, what does she do? Calls the neighbors. What does she call the neighbors? What does she have to say to them? She says, rejoice. Rejoice with me. I have found the coin that was lost. I have found my lost coin. What does Jesus say this means?
Joy in heaven.
There is joy. It doesn't actually say in heaven in the translations I was looking at. Does yours say in heaven?
It says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God.
Ah, joy in the presence of the angels of God. over one, what?
Lost sinner.
Lost sinner who repents. Over one lost sinner who repents. So what is the coin in this parable? Apparently, the lost and found coin is what kind of sinner? A lost. The lost and found coin in this parable is apparently analogous to a
person who comes to Christ.
A lost, repentant
sinner.
But they didn't tell him they were lost.
This is interesting. Yeah, so of course there's limits around any parable. And you know, we're dealing with inanimate objects bringing things. And so I think that's a useful insight for us to recognize. It's possible that the coin didn't know it's lost. But when we translate it into the human realm, we have to recognize that there becomes a point of realization in order to repent.
But at first they didn't know they were lost. And
yeah.
Then something happens that...
There must be a point of realization or repentance does not take place. But Jesus is telling a story about a lost and found coin. Therefore, in the parable, he's referring by that coin to a lost and repentant found sinner. Who are the neighbors and friends? The angels of God, interestingly enough. So who then is the woman? Now, I get two things when I ask that question. Some people say church, and some people say God. Now, if we put this parable in parallel with the previous one, it sure seems like the shepherd is God, who is, or Christ, who has left 99 behind in the open country. If you were here, we recall, we realize this is actually talking about Jesus coming from heaven. He didn't leave them locked in a sheepfold someplace. He leaves them in the open country because he can do that in heaven. And coming here in search of one. That it was Jesus who was the active person. But in this parable, many times when I ask that question, people, instead of telling me, well, God is comparing himself to a woman here, they say the church. Do you know why you said that? Do you have any evidence to back that up? Okay. However, Jesus can tell a parable that doesn't fit into the sort of established chain of, he tells parables about yeast where yeast is a good thing and parables about yeast where yeast is a bad thing. So we have to listen to every parable in its own context to see if that makes sense. Anybody else have a good reason why you said woman? No? None? Shucks. Well, we'll leave that hanging then, and we'll come back to it, right? Because it's possible that the woman is God, right? Sure seems that way, going after one lost sinner. But maybe it's possible that it's the church as well. We'll consider it. Do you want to add something?
I was thinking it could be the church, because the church is often referred to as a woman in the Bible.
Yeah, right? And that's a good basic reason to investigate that possibility. But unless we see some solid evidence that stacks up behind that in this parable, we need to be willing to question that as well. Because symbolism is not always 100% consistent throughout Scripture. Norm, were you going to add something?
Well, as a church, we are to go after lost sinners.
Yes. Yes, certainly we're to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And we could read that back into the previous parable as well. That we're to go out after the lost sheep out there. You know, we should see ourselves in that role as well. All right, we'll come back to that. Don't let me forget. Just say it's God for the moment. How did God light a lamp to find one lost sinner? I didn't hear that.
By the Word of God.
The Word of God is a lamp. It gives insight into lostness and foundness, does it not? Paul says, I'd never have known I was a sinner unless I read in the commandments about covetousness. Because I did everything else just perfectly. Now, that's not true either, but he says, I would never have known that I was a sinner if God had not provided the Bible to point that out to me. So that's one way that God lights a lamp, to reveal things. Where is someone else going to add? Do you have another? Right. I thought I saw another hand. Anything even wilder than sending the Bible to us that God has done? Right? The Holy Spirit. Ken, were you going to add something else?
Jesus came to illuminate God.
Yeah, Jesus, the light of the world.
I had the wrong picture of God. So Jesus came and said, Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
Everything I do is what the Father wants me to do. I'm here to save because the Father sent me.
Absolutely. Right. So Jesus, and by the way, what effect did Jesus have on people who didn't know they were lost?
Made him mad or made him seek the Father.
Yeah, both things happened with people who didn't know they were lost. Some people were highly offended at Jesus. And some people discovered their condition and repented. But both outcomes were possible when you flip on the lights. When you turn on the lights. Right? How does God sweep the house? Well, let's consider what it means in the parable. She said, forgives you of your sins. In the parable, what is the woman trying to accomplish by sweeping out the house? Well, no, it's God doing the sweeping. So what is she hoping to accomplish by sweeping out the house? Did you want to explain? Right, she's taken out less. Why does she want that stuff out of the house? Because apparently it's obscuring her view of the coin. There's dirt and junk in the way, and it's preventing her from finding what is lost. And so she's sweeping out the house in order to find that which is buried under the junk. How does God sweep out the house? All right, well, take out the junk and the dirt. But if that's indeed what's going on, how does that help him find the lost? Can God take out our sins when we don't know that we're lost? When we, you know, doesn't that connect with repentance? You follow what I'm saying? If sweeping out our sins is God cleansing us, well, let me back up. What is he sweeping out? Well, but I mean, what place is he sweeping out? Whose house? The coin's house?
His house.
The woman's house.
Could this be like a big situation that happens? Like a storm? A disaster, a something that everybody, things are exposed. When something big happens, people have to confront what's happening, what's going on in their lives.
It could be like a storm blowing all the obscuring elements out of the house. Right? The dirt in this case plays the role of preventing the woman from seeing clearly what's going on. It plays the role of preventing the coin from being found. In other words, it's getting in the way of repentance. Whatever the dirt is, it is something that's preventing people from seeing things as they really are. There really is a coin down there on the floor, but you can't see it. because it's covered over with dirt. And so what is it that God does that clears out those things out of the way? I think one possibility is what you said. That the
big situation.
Yeah, we commonly call those what? Trials, right? Judgments of God, where we find out, whoa, am I really following God or am I fooling myself? And we have to face that in those situations. Anyone else? I saw another hand back. Have you had additional insight? No? Now that's very interesting. What are you referring to historically? Right? There was actually war in heaven, and God cleared out some of those who were obscuring what he was really like. I'm sure that was a very hard time for him. Yeah, that was a very hard time for him. And do we have an expectation that God will again perform that kind of a work? Pardon me? Yeah, there is a judgment talked about throughout the Bible that takes place at the end of time. In fact, Seventh-day Adventists believe that there's a judgment taking place right now. That God is actually, even now, clearing out of the way misinformation about his own character, about what he stands for, so that human beings can see and make a final decision. Am I with God or not? Jesus cleared out a house while he was here, didn't he? He went to the temple. And to the best of our understanding, on more than one occasion. I don't know if he took a broom, but it was a sweeping event.
Set their tables and everything else.
Yeah. And some of those who were preventing the lost from being found had to leave, and some of those who were lost were found in the process. It is a merciful thing when God brings judgment, isn't it? What does it mean, by the way, for a coin to be lost at home? Well, it's thoroughly lost to me if I don't know where it is. I can't go out and spend it. I can't pass it on to my daughter. It may be near at hand, but it seems to me that it's still pretty lost. What does it mean for it to be lost at home? Pardon?
Kind of like you're lost in yourself.
Help me understand what you mean.
I was thinking of sleeping because, you know, the Bible says that our bodies are temples for God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he has to sweep our heads and our hearts to clear out the clutter. Yeah. And there might be this precious little coin there that we don't realize that until the sweeping takes place, it is lost within us.
Okay. So, all right.
But
that's, I think you're taking and applying things a little bit differently, as though we're the house and God's sweeping. And we'd have to consider what that might mean in that context. But here we're talking about, whose house is it?
Ladies.
It's the woman's house. We're considering the possibility that the woman represents God. Although, if it's the woman's house, could it not also be the church? And so if God is sweeping his house, what does it mean for a coin to be lost in his house at home?
It is possible to go to a church all your life and not be truly converted.
It is. Geography does not determine spirituality, does it?
Or family ties.
or genealogy, right? God dealt with this, or he called a special people to himself. But just because they were all sons of Jacob didn't mean that they were all his own children. And so it is entirely possible to be lost and be in church every week. And in fact, those are the people who don't know that they're lost. Doesn't that make sense? Because they're doing all the right stuff. I go to church. I'm nice to people. But they may still be lost at home. Apparently, we're talking about people who are in church, but not repentant. Because that's what makes the difference between a lost coin and a found coin. Right? In the church, but not repentant. Lost at home. So let's go back to this question. Who is the woman? Tell me who the woman is in light of that. Anyone have an insight? Are you going to say who's responsible for a coin that is lost at home? Who lost it? If it fell down in the cracks in your couch. So are you going to tell me that God loses his children at home? That he's responsible? Who is responsible when God's children are lost at home? That's one way of putting it. Did you hear what he said? Yeah. Collectively, the church is responsible if one of its members is lost at home. God has put us here to care for each other, to hold each other accountable, to look out for each other when we see one in danger of being lost. And if someone ends up lost at home, it's not God's fault. The church has not been paying attention. If we kept close ties and connections with each other, knew what was going on in each other's lives spiritually, shared with each other our struggles and our strengths, no one could get lost at home. If they wanted to get lost, they'd have to, you know, go off someplace to get lost. Because at home, we would look out for each other. Well, I think God is our model. I think the woman is the church. I suppose it's got to be a little of both. To whom is Jesus telling these parables? You recall? Who's he talking to? Check again. Check again. Yes. The church leaders. Why is he telling it to them? Which are they more like? Lost sheep or lost coins? Do they know they're lost?
No, they think they already got the ticket.
Man, we're in. You're causing trouble. You're trying to bring in people who don't belong here. They think that they are just fine. And Jesus says, I would have come for one of you. How many of you think they got it? It's hard to talk to lost coins sometimes because they think everybody else has a problem but not them. I don't know if they got it. There were many Pharisees that turned to Christ. Yes, it's true. And so the story is successful. Jesus, by sweeping, does find a lost coin, or two, or three. Over whom is Jesus hoping to rejoice in this parable?
One lost
Pharisee. So how about you? Do you have a sense of your condition? Do you identify with any of this? You ever feel dirty? God has placed great value on you, but you're in the dirt. Anybody interested in being found today?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many of you believe that God would sweep out the whole place?
For me.
Just for you.
The empty heaven.
The empty heavens.
It's son, it's prince.
Mm. And we have a balance of things here, right? We have two kinds of grace being demonstrated. In the one story, he emptied heaven of its greatest light and sent him here to a dark place. In the other story, we have God emptying his universe of all that is evil in order to find one lost coin. There is grace in Jesus coming, and there is grace in judgment. Those who are lost and don't know it will not be found unless the issues become plain and clear. They will not be found unless right from wrong is clearly seen and understood. But then there is the opportunity for some to be found. I heard a pastor tell a story about preaching on these two parables. And he said, I want you to sit here and listen to God for a moment. Who is it that God brings to mind when you think of lost sheep? Now, these are people who are lost out there in the world. Or lost coins, people who may be lost right here at home. Who does God bring to mind? And then he said, I want you to write those names in your Bible, in the margin, next to this passage. If you don't want to write in your Bible, write them on a little piece of paper. Tuck it in here with today's date. I said, I want you to pray over those people. Now, I don't know the outcome of most of, you know, he had a whole church full of people. But he had one story he could tell us. One story that he knew was a lost sheep story. There was a woman sitting there who was a relatively new convert herself, and all her family were still out there on drugs and alcohol. And she wrote down the names of some of her children in her Bible and the date and began to pray. And it didn't happen overnight. No, it was at least 2 or 3 years later one of those kids, through no connection, you know, with her mom, made a contact with some Seventh-day Adventists and asked to study the Bible. Members from his church. And so the pastor got excited, and he had a lady who was, you know, excited to do that kind of thing, connected the two of them up, and every time she called to set up an appointment, the lady would say, great, you know, we'll meet you at this time and place, and she, you know, gave her an address to her house, they had an appointment. Whenever the woman showed up for the Bible study, rang the doorbell, no one answered. And this went on two or three times. You know, she'd call on the phone, and, oh, I'm so sorry, something came up. She'd apologize, and they'd set a new appointment, and when she'd go ring the doorbell, no one would answer. So finally she got back to the pastor and said, look, I just don't think this person's interested. You know, I mean, every time I talk to her, she's apologetic, but she's never there. Well, it turns out, they found out a little bit later on, that every time the lady showed up for the Bible study, she was either high or drunk, and she was afraid to open the door. She was embarrassed to open the door. And I don't remember the whole story of how it came about, but eventually they were able to get together. She became a Christian, became a member of that same church. And that little lady who had written those names down and prayed had much reason for rejoicing. So I'm going to invite you to do that. I don't know what will happen. We may not know what the outcome is, but I'm going to give you a couple minutes to stop and think. Who does God bring to mind for you when you think of lost sheep or lost coins? Lost out there in the world or lost at home? And I encourage you to write in the margin of your Bible next to the story. If you prefer not to do that, write it on a piece of paper. Put it in your Bible. This is not for anybody else to see. It's for you to pray over. Go ahead and take that time. What are you going to do with this name or names? Pray. And then do whatever God leads you to do.